Thank you for the introduction. In this presentation, I would like to report about attempt of mine to support yet another kernel for the GNOME framework, because we have so few. So I will first go a bit into detail about the GNOME OS framework, what it is, in case some of you don't know. And then will I speak a bit about the Skype OS and what happened last year. Then the intention was from my side to go a bit through the history of the supported microkernels, but I have to cut away a lot of the part of the presentation because I have no time for that actually. So it will be quite short, this second part, and then I actually want to talk about the work I did for small components. But if you have like Qt, Chrome engine, a browser, you will find this really nice. The other point is that GNOME now comes with a package management system. That means once you have written your component, you can package it, sign it, upload it, and during runtime deploy it via a package management system. But of course, you can also stay static if you want, if you just want to ship for an IoT device an image, you may stay static. Since the end of the last year, we have a third book, which is about how to get, in a modern way, applications running on top of GNOME without touching the build system at all, which was beforehand necessary. The first book is about the basics, about the philosophy of GNOME, and the second book will guide you if you are if you have to enable another ARM board and you need to enable the drivers. So the second book will help you. Now you have all these components and kernels, and someone has to build an OS out of it. So it's nothing you can just boot. It's the job of the user of the GNOME OS framework to make something useful out of it. This we changed with beginning of 2017, where we shipped our own operating system, where we have regular releases 2 times per year. Which should serve as day-to-day OS for the community and for the developers on consumer devices, so that we can work on them on it and we can enjoy what we had done the month before. So Skype OS is based on the GNOME OS framework releases in that sense. You get a very, very tiny base OS. It's like 30 megabytes, which makes the device detection, starts the right driver, configure everything so that you end up in a tight UI. Where you then can start new components. So those components provided, so you have to download this, they are provided as in a federated way. That means we have not one big app store, so every one of us can provide packages, and you can decide what you want to take. And as soon as the system is up, then typically what you, the most users of us do, we want to have a window manager. Then we have several native browsers running on top, which are Chromium-based, or you want to stay in the virtual machine monitor with your Firefox, and there we have multiple virtual machine monitors, and we have a lot of native applications. This PDF viewer, for example, I'm running currently natively on Skype, so I'm switching in the control view in that sense, GPU applications, and so on. And optionally, there's also a POSIX runtime with fork semantics so that you can run your beloved GNU tools. But it's an option. It is not GNOME is not POSIX. What are the hardware devices, the consumer hardware devices we support? On the right-hand side, you see framework, x86 notebook. In the middle, we have a PinePhone running Sculpt. And the left-hand side, an ARM-based board. And since the end of last year, we additionally support the Mount Pocket Reform, which is also running Sculpt. And yeah. So what happens last year regarding the two releases we had? There were several features, technical ones. I just want to name the user-visible features. With the end of the last year, we have now a graphical user interface that you can easily configure the resolution whenever you attach a connector. And additionally, we have now panorama support. That means you can have large virtual screen across all the displays, and you can configure it fine granular. This is a nice feature, and it took quite a time to get the driver running, the whole UI stack up to the applications. So it was tough ride, but was cool. Another user visible feature was actually that we now added to the Skype OS system also suspend resume support for x86. The feature itself was in the framework already beforehand, but to convince all the drivers working nicely when you want to go to suspend took some time. And here you mainly see the interface. You have to enable first a bit more ACPL support, and then the standby button pops up, and you can try to suspend the system, and hopefully it will come back. You know, there's only one type of RAM which a component got assigned, and this includes the user part and also the implicit kernel part, page tables, kernel resources, and so on. If there's let's say, if Gino does not know what the costs are for kernel resources, it's problematic. If there's a fixed pool in the kernel which can be exhausted, but Gino actually has a lot of memory still and you cannot start any components anymore, it's a bit problematic. So ideally, there are some dynamic way, some flexible way to talk to the kernel about the memory usage so that Gino can really account it correctly. The other point is, ideally, there should be non-blocking kernel interfaces available because on Gnode we have the style of event programming interface. You know, probably you have one thread, gets a synchronous IPC from the outside, does something, is ready. Or you get an asynchronous event, do something, and is ready. When the thread for some reason has to block on a syscall for a long time, like I want to wait for interrupt, and the thread cannot do in the meantime something else, it's hard for us. And we have to resolve this something somehow differently. The other part is, if you want multi-core supports, currently the assumption is that there is just cross-core IPC support provided by the kernel. So if you have a service on CPU5 and you are running on one, then there is no support in like moving first that guy to the other CPU on five and make a local IPC. So there's just the assumption there is cross-core IPC support. It must be there. And optionally, of course, it's virtualization. So the framework itself does not require virtualization, but of course the user on top want to run their virtual machines, right? So for the presentation, I looked through our release notes and tried to come up with some timeline about when which kernel got added to Gnode and how long it was supported. And so if you see a line where it stops somewhere in the middle, then the support was removed. So it's the year and the month when something got added. And now I would like look a bit into the kernels. So the first kernels since the beginning is the Linux kernel. It's obviously not a microkernel kernel. It's a monolithic one. The nice thing about this is simply it's for rapid prototyping, it's really nice. So on Linux, you must imagine it's like a middleware layer, Gnode, and each Gnode component is just a Linux task, and you can debug it easily, can attach, and so on. The other kernels are L4 microkernels, which were at the time when they got added state of the art and on Vogue, at least in the bubble we are living. And they are still around, the kernels. So in our contiguous integration loop, and so we see every night whether they are working or not. But they are not used for anything useful today. And the other point is they have no capabilities. So there you have global thread IDs, global task IDs, and all of them can try to call each other, and there's no protection. So Gnode cannot do anything against that. But of course, we abstracted away. So if you not try hard to circumvent this, then you will not see the effect. The second part is more the, I called it modern kernels. That's the one which have capability support built in. So it started with the Nova kernel, which is developed by Udo. This version actually, but is a heavily adjusted version to Gnode, so it's not the original version of Udo. Then the Fiasco OC kernel, which also started in the university and now is maintained or developed further by KernConcept. And HW is a kernel which is developed by Gnode Labs, which is specifically built for Gnode. And also SL4 is supported, which as soon as it got open sourced, it was proprietary beforehand, we added support. I try to come with a correct heuristic matrix. The main points here are the dynamic memory management for the kernel and towards the user for SL4 and HW looks okay. But for HW, it's much, much simpler, the interfacing. And for SL4, it's horrible complicated. And also, the kernels have different ideas about whether they have one big kernel lock or bringing the current upstream Nova kernel supported with Gnode. It's actually just a personal spare time project of mine, so there's no project behind it or funding or anything. It's on a very low priority. I work on it in the evening 1 to 2 hours as time fits. It's like since 8 months I'm working on it. My personal goal is that it's actually easy can test the current upstream version. One also may ask, just a minor update, right? Rebase and you are done. No, actually not. As I said, we have added features, for example, like the cross-core IPC support, which is it's not easy to add again, and I don't think that I wanted to do it again. And so in that sense, Gnode's version as is now fixed good enough to Gnode framework. And we don't add new features. It's only on a need-to-need basis. In contrast, the upstream Nova kernel is, of course, under active development, has a lot of features, and also in the area of trusting computing. So there is the presentation from Udo from the last FOSDEMS. And, of course, this kernel is actually a kernel which undergoes verification. C++, we like C++ at Gnode, so maybe you see the connection. And I need a working title, so base Nova is already used, so I need another name, so I added the E as, for the moment, experimental version, but also the plural of having several Nova instances. So working items. It's kind of easy, make a copy of the original repository, remove everything we added since 2012 to the Gnode version we had with Nova. Then you have to get the core running, you have to review the documentation, the specification, which is quite good, adjusting all the syscall bindings, get hold of the major capabilities that you actually can make some output, that you can debug this thing, that you get access to the multi-boot structure, so that you can fill all the allocators in the root task. The timer server needs some slightly adjustment, and because waiting for IRQ is a blocking call on this Nova version, I had to re-add IRQ threads, which we have not in the Gnode version. In order to play with the real nice stuff, so running all the test scenarios, I also had to package everything, because nowadays we everywhere using packages, even for simple tests. The fun part starts as soon as you start the second task. And when you are looking at the RPC framework, so as I said in the beginning, we want to delegate Turing and RPC, Gnode RPC, also capabilities. There's an example definition. This is not possible anymore with this kernel. This was not a surprise. Udo already announced it years ago. And of course, there's a syscall where you can delegate capabilities, but you have to have the target capability of the guy where you want to push the capability. And those information are only available to core, and moving this capability around was no option from the Gnode perspective. So what have to be done? We discussed this already in the context of another kernel, that we need some rerouting service via the root task, via core. And what's now happening is whenever the IPC framework sees that the capability must be delegated, it will in the first step call core. Core will remember the fact which capability should go to whom. Returns in the second step. In the third step, there's actually IPC. The multiplex in that case will see, according to the RPC definition, I should have received a capability. He will call into core, will ask for, please delegate the capability to me. And then the actually RPC is done with the fifth step. So obviously, this becomes more expensive if you're doing it often enough. So that's already all. Some time to add supports Fiasco OC and the SL4 version. Because they are not officially supported, I had to do some fix-ups. And now for the demo, they are looking quite good. I uploaded an image in case you are interested. And actually, I wanted to demonstrate this live, rebooting the machine. And I think I will not have enough time. But I have something else. Instead, I decided to make the whole demo on this kernel. And when you boot this image, you will see in the right button on which kernel you are currently running, so that you not get confused. And if you don't believe the pixels in the right button, I also have another option. We can look for the boot log. And the one who are familiar with the output of the kernel, maybe does it look like the upstream version? Right, yeah. Not like the one from 2012 from the output. So, okay, I said all the drivers are running in principle. Obviously, the Intel display driver is running. My disk is running. Otherwise, I cannot present here because my presentation are on the disk. I can show you that the Wi-Fi driver in principle should work or not. Ah, that's bad. No, I cannot show it you because I said restarting drivers is not supported. When I press Wi-Fi, so the Ethernet driver will be killed. And the Wi-Fi driver will try. No, I cannot show it, not yet. But maybe I can show you that GPU application is running. Let's have Mesa Gears running, hopefully. Da-da-da. So this is with GPU support. Yes, that's actually all I wanted to show you. Thank you for your attention.
All right, I'm quite happy to hear that you're working on the new Nova version. Do we have any, and obviously, I'll try my best to help you overcome some of these challenges.
That's nice.
do we have any questions from the audience, please?
Thanks for the presentation. What did your debugging setup consist of? How did you get this done?
The question was, how was my debugging setup? How I could proceed or can get back this? Actually, all this I have done because it's x86, I can just do it in CoEMU, so it's no deal. And because I also have the current Nova version and the new one, I can also compare where they differentiate in the output and so where I have done something wrong. So that's quite comfortable in that sense.
You run CoEMU VMs on your Gnode laptop?
Yes. That's possible.
Any other questions? Yes, a question over there.
The answer may be dangerous, but maybe you're doing offline, but I'm missing the big picture here. You said your studies are saying that they have support for more browsers.
Yeah.
And you said that we have microcontroller some SCM. One browser will dynamically spawn multiple processes, maybe more kind of creating the maps, or kind of creating devices to make creations. SCM4 is by then doesn't have a memory manager, so what's in the point?
I don't know whether can you please shorten your question?
What's in between the memory, the browser, modern browser?
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy operations and a very, very simplistic
framework. The Gnode framework. No, the question was what is between the